you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. This is just an introduction to what some of the great riches that we have that I just want to share with you tonight in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians. Let's begin from verse 5. I think it's better also to begin from verse, because there's a comma after verse 5. So let's begin from verse 4, which is gives more of the context, even from verse 1. But let's, for the sake of our meditation tonight, let's start from verse 4 up to verse 8. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us, or he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly place, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's the verses that we would like to dwell on, particularly on verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment of meditating on thy holy word. Speak thou thy word, O Lord, that we may be reminded how rich we are in Christ Jesus our Lord, and his grace is sufficient with all our needs. Forgive us if sometimes we falter, that sometimes we forget who we are in the eyes of the world, as if we are the most miserable people in the world, because we don't reflect those privileges in the most effective and effective manner, that people will really ask what change he has wrought in our individual hearts. Lord, forgive us. It's not too late yet. There's a way back to God. Forgive us and cleanse us of our sin. Help us to count our blessings tonight for the great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Help us to realize that he said to us, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. May this be the preoccupation of our meditation in this season. May this riches in Christ and us be seen in the world around us, so that people will see how great and rich our God is. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We are singing a while ago, in that 3, 3, 5, 4. The first 354, yeah, 394, I should say. More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. And then the chorus just makes that more clearer and clearer and reinforces its truth. More and more about Jesus, more and more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness, see. More of his love who died for me. Could it be that the greatest hindrance in our witness to live for Christ is that because of our lack of awareness and the reinforcing truth of God's word, that we sometimes lack the credibility or the power day by day of a Christ-like life, that others don't see more and more of Christ, but less and less of Christ? Do you remember when John the Baptist, before he baptized, the Lord Jesus said, he said of the Lord Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." May ye increase and myself decrease. Well, the meditation of God's word tonight is intended for that purpose. As we see less and less of ourselves, may it enable us for others to see more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not a difficult, not an easy job to do, but the word of God will enable us to meditate upon these truths. Particularly that this month of December, as most of us are already aware, that this is the busiest period of the year. And for just a, not just an information, how busy it is, not just on our part, but all the people of the world, I would say maybe 80%, 20% perhaps, they don't have anything to be busy about, is that every minute, in every store, throughout perhaps UK alone, it registers 100,000 plus a minute for the purchase of goods. That includes Amazon, you order, people does not want to spend more time, they just order and it comes to their door. But that's how busy people are. And we can be we can be part of these people, preoccupied about many things, and miss the point of properly preparing ourselves for this special season of the year to meditate upon the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this world 2,000 years ago. Instead of enriching ourselves in being loved by God so much in John 3:16, we try to express materially, and sometimes subconsciously we don't know, we try to impress, we try to just physically love other people. We spend so much. And sometimes we worry so much about what to give to this list of items that we are going to give to anyone that we care about. But if we're not careful, that is a lost opportunity for us to reflect on the riches of Christ. So that instead of centering or focusing our right biblical perspective about being rich in Christ, our attention becomes more and more on spending more money and wrong usage of our spiritual gifts, because our focus is on the material things. And I say that with honesty in all our heart, because I myself, sometimes, if I'm not careful, I'll be one of those people who worry about things, what to give, and to please the expectation of people around us, particularly within our immediate family and other relatives and friends. So that tonight, in our meditation of God's Word, particularly in this next 2 weeks before the big day comes in celebrating the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ, instead of worrying about so many things. Why don't we meditate tonight in the proper preparation for this celebration of the greatest person who have ever lived in this world, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So that when a person becomes a Christian, he at once becomes fabulously wealthy. Remember that word, fabulously wealthy. Not wealthy in material things, which last only for this life, but wealthy in spiritual blessings, which endure forever. The expression that was stated there in our text a while ago, particularly on verse 7, verse 7 here, I am looking at chapter 3, that in the ages to come it might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Exceeding riches of his grace. So the expression riches of his grace is used by the Apostle Paul to describe inexhaustible treasures. That means treasures that cannot run out. It always remains the same. It never runs out. It's abundant. I can show you that verse that I quoted a while ago. That I came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. God gave us this physical life and spiritual life so that our life is not just as if we are meeting both ends meet and our eyes look so gloomy because of the struggles that we face. Romans chapter 5 should encourage us actually at this stage, because even in tribulation, even in our difficulties, even in our worry, how to give to others and get the money to purchase these things, sometimes it makes us miserable because we don't have the finances to commit ourselves in giving. And Romans chapter 5 should encourage us at this point in our approach to this richness that we have in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the first effect of being a child of God, through whom we also access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. As believers, as followers of Christ, as a child of God, we have that riches in grace that should not actually discourage us when we are running short or falling short of the things that we need. And sometimes, this is true, most of the time, that because of the limited resources that we have to buy something and express our love to that person in this season, sometimes it's just a big struggle. And if we don't have the right resources, sometimes we just feel discouraged, as if we're not happy. We should be happy, because in the face of all these difficulties and trials, we should rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, this rejoicing is not actually depend upon what how much money we have, how much money in the bank we have, whether our investments are probably getting low or bad or increasing in their value. It doesn't depend upon that. Or whether we have some good news from friends through the text. And not only rejoice in the hope of the glory or the presence of God day by day, but Not only that, in verse 3, that we also should glory in tribulation. Yes. Tribulation is the big word that summarizes all our difficulties, all our trials, all our sorrows and disappointment. They are all in that word, tribulations. You see, this word, the Apostle Paul says, we should glory in this. Of course, it's difficult to glory when we are full of disappointments and trials. Who can stand here and say, they glory, they boast? The word glory means boast. Do you boast of your sadness? Do you boast of your difficulties? Do you boast of your failures? Do you boast of your lost loved ones? Are they the closest to your life? Do you boast of that? But Paul says, we can. You know why? Because we stand on this grace. We are not standing on sinking world or sinking house or sinking hopes. We are standing in grace. You know, grace is sufficient to meet all our needs. And sometimes when we look at each other, especially when we are so affected by some wrong decisions made and failures and wrong words that we have said to others, we are so miserable. And yet we forget that we are standing in grace. And we should rejoice all the time because of the hope of the presence of God, of the glory of God. And not only that, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so at this juncture of our meditation, let's continue the expression, the riches of his grace, in which Paul uses to describe an inexhaustible treasures that we have in Christ. That's a lot. And I can stop from there, but I don't want to. Because we have an inexhaustible treasure in Christ. They are all lavish upon the sinner who trusts in Christ. Hello? Are you with me? Those who say sometimes they don't know who they are. Sometimes they look miserable in the eyes of the world. Sometimes we're not careful when we are all doing what we can and yet fail to please someone at home. Everything changes. As if our hope is only based on that hope for one person. But our hope is inexhaustible. If we only meditate upon them. And I'm going to share with you some of them. I listed 20, but I don't know if I can finish them tonight. So you see, when a person is converted or made a decision for Christ, because he is chosen in Christ, in their eternity past, he received Christ. And in receiving him, he received everything that God can give. All the wealth of heaven is found in him. Well, I must show you the evidence of this. I'm not just saying it in words. So that when the most popular statement is brought before us, which says something like this: when you have Christ, you have everything. You believe that?
Amen.
When you have Christ, you have everything?
Amen.
What about if some plague of sickness hits you tonight, or your loved one is lost tonight? Can you still say, I am rich in Christ? Yes. Well, you should. Well, this is how we should. In giving Christ, God has given the greatest gift of all. And since he has already given the greatest gift of all, he will not withhold any lesser gift. That means anything less than Christ, which is the richest in wisdom, richest in hope, richest in, I wouldn't say material blessings every day, but riches in Christ. But I would also say that God will not even meet our physical needs. He will meet our physical needs in Christ. So that when he say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not give him also freely? He also freely give us all things. According to Romans 8:32. What then are some of these treasures that belong to the person? Just like you and me, who trusted Jesus Christ. First of all, and I know that some of this you already know, but we forget to apply them in our immediate circumstances of our lives. And that's why it's very important to remind ourselves, particularly in this busy period that catches all our longing, our attention, and even our pockets. And it's sad that if some of this desire of us, this very busy month, we feel discouraged. Let's try to observe each other this period. If the same riches of Christ is in us next week, in terms of our assurance, if there are joy and delight in him, let's see if they are still there. First of all, the greatest treasures that we have among the treasures that we have is that, first of all, a person is saved, not only saved per se, but saved from the penalty of sin and saved from the power of sin, according to Romans 8:1 and Romans 6:14. So if you have your Bible, let's quickly turn to that. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is a person's assurance. Saved from the power of sin. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. But is that true of our experience? Because more often than not, sometimes sin dominates us. Why? Well, we forget to what the challenge Pastor Mark this morning says, that we should take heed, we should be watchful in prayer, unto prayer. And that's true. I don't, how many of us would be encouraged to pray at 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning? Twice a week. Would you do that? Would you like to do that? And yet we know it's for God's kingdom. And yet we tend to recognize how needful we have for this particular very important ingredient of our Christian life. And he is possessed that he will one day be saved from the very presence of sin. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is a great hope, especially for our dying loved ones, like that brother a while ago. Pastor Marcus mentioned similar to that a while ago. And we should not only see a dying person to think about that. Day by day, we are almost at the point of dying. And yet, we are constantly being renewed by the three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are being renewed day by day. We are at the point of death. And of course, not only physically threatened by the evil forces of this world, and we know that anything may happen from the attacks of the ISIS I'm not trying to frighten you at this moment, but that's true. Why are we sending a lot, millions worth of ammunition in Syria at this point, so that they cannot plan ahead of time about their plan here in London? And yet there are people who can plan also here. But they realize that London is always ready, being monitoring every movement of the people to the works of those in the government who work for the security of this nation. He is saved from the pangs of hell forever. That is such a wonderful salvation that no monetary value should be placed upon it. So the value of our salvation is such of worth that should actually value our saved condition in Christ. Saved condition because we are saved from the past sin, present and future sin. But let us be careful about misusing the grace of God and His mercy. Because if a person is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. The new has come. Let us not play games with God, because even after when we pray, we are capable of sinning. We are capable of thinking something else outside the grace of God. So, my dear brother, we are saved from the penalty of sin and saved from the power of sin. And secondly, he is born again or born from above. Titus 3, 5-6. Let's look at that verse. Titus 3, 5-6. I would like to read it from verse 4 because of the context that needs to be understood. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to to His mercy, He saved us. Look at that word, three-letter words. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 6, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What is the meaning of this verse? Well, at the believer's first birth, he was born with a wicked, incurable, fallen nature, which is sin. When he was born again, he receives a new nature, the very life of Christ Himself, which is expressed in that verse a while ago in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If a person is in Christ, is a new creation, all things are passed away. The new has come. The old things are the sins that has been forgiven and washed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the new has come, the new life in Christ, through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, which come from the eternity past. He chose us by the God the Father. Well, eternity past, sometimes we don't know the length of time. It must be before the time began. God knows who are already. Yes. And He has chosen them in Christ. What a privilege to know that. That person is also born with was born again, he receives a new nature, the very life of Christ Himself. Can any adequate value be placed on such a blessing? We cannot put a monetary value on our salvation, because the price that has been paid for our sin is the precious blood of the Son of God, who came from heaven and surrendered His will. The Father. In other words, though he was rich, he became poor for our enrichment in Christ. He did not punish our sin that our sin deserved, to die and to be separated eternally. But he accepted those suffering and punishment upon himself. Therefore, we can agree with the Apostle John when he says, "Behold, what manner of love is this? The Son, the Father has bestowed upon us that we are called the children of God." Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can pay. There's nothing we can repay God for this great privilege. And yet, we don't show our thankfulness as we should. You know what? When a person, like sister, when she stood up like that a while ago and share who she is in Christ, that should move us. Do we? Sometimes when Pastor Mark asks for a testimony, we don't. Sometimes we are silent. What does the silence mean? We should all be raising up after the other, our hands after the other. Because we know our destiny. We know to whom we belong. And we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of this whole universe. So we are not only saved from sin and power of sin, and we are not only born again from above, but we are justified. Justified. That word justified, sometimes for clarity, they explained it this way, just as if I had never sinned. You know why? It's because the righteousness of Christ through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to us. We have been bought with a price. We have redeemed by this precious sacrifice. That's why we are justified. Which means that God now declares him, a believer, that includes us, to be righteous. Instead of being clothed with the filthy rags of our own self-righteousness, he is now clothed with the very righteousness of God himself. So perfect is his standing before God that no one can ever condemn him. 8:33 of Romans. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In fact, the believer is now closer to God in Christ than ever before, than ever could have been in Adam, even if Adam had never sinned. The value of such a grace is beyond human description. If we are standing in the grace of God, which is the truth, we can even more rejoice in the glory or the presence of God every day of our lives, any moment of our lives. But because sin slows us down in our realization of these treasures, that's why we forget where we stand. We forget to whom we belong. And we forget to powerfully witness for Christ. Because there is a sin that is not washed, that is not confessed. So as justified people, let's continue to rejoice in the God that we serve and we worship. Number four, the person who follows Christ as their Lord and Savior is redeemed. That is, he has been brought back from a slave market of sin. Colossians 1:14 says, we have been brought back from the slave market of sin. Colossians 1:14. tying up with verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom, verse 14 says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It does not mean, if this does not seem very astonishing, or that makes you open your eyes with astonishment, just remember that the price of this redemption was the precious blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. Look at that verse. First Peter 1, 18 to 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we were redeemed, dearly beloved. We were redeemed from this slave market of sin. Could the Lord have cared for a sinner as so much that he would pay such a price? Could the Lord save, or could the Lord have cared for such a sinner so much that he would pay such a price? Of course he did. So that God did not withdraw his love for us. The most precious son that he possessed, that he had. He did not withdraw him from us in point of need. And yet he allowed him to die and face the punishment for our sin that we deserve. And that should drive us astonishingly grateful for this privilege of being redeemed by this precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the believer receives the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7. Let's look at that quickly. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, that riches of his grace is superabundant. God's grace never runs out, no matter how many times we sin. And that we should not actually play games with God. So, although we sin how many times, 100 times a day, he can still forgive us. That's what grace, the grace of God, is so super abundant that it never runs out. Those sins that he forgives are removed by God as far as from the east, as far as the east is from the west. That's how the Lord forgives us of our sin. It was promised that the believer will remember, that God will not remember no more these sins that this follower of Christ has done. Hebrews 8:12 reinforces that truth. That God will not remember anymore our sin when he forgives us. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, and I will remember no more. Can you imagine a God who will always remember our past sin? That's no God at all, isn't it? Because he remembers our past sin and uses that against us. But this verse is saying to us, their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And yet some of us, or many Christians, think that I don't want to go to church yet because I'm not yet perfect. I have a lot of sin to confess to God. Could it be that even those who come to church are slowed down by this unconfession in their lives? And therefore, they need to be reminded of this truth. That's why tonight our resources should actually encourage us that even our worst sin, our oft-repeated sin, cannot be remembered anymore when God forgives us. angels might well gasp. Let's see. With great awe of this grace of God in exhibiting the grace of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle John, as has been mentioned a while ago, behold, what manner of love is this? That we are called the children of God instead of the child of the devil. We are now called the children of God. Amen. Is there a sin that tried to vex you? That owns you in the past? There's one Japanese warrior during the World War II, the Philippines. He has killed and punished a lot of Filipinos. My dad tell me about the punishment that he saw that his fellow Filipino scouts with Americans, how terrible they are. That even those killed from Bataan, that is nearly about probably 100 miles walking up to the place where my wife and I lived in Bamban, Pastor Mark, I've seen that place. They walk, they tie them on the legs, thousands and thousands upon these Filipino prisoners. When they reach that place, they are dug. They even scrape their foot with a blade and put salt under them. What a terrible! They don't even, the Japanese don't even food. They even rob the poorest of the poor in the Philippines. If you have a duck or chicken or some vegetables, they take everything. That's how cruel they are. And yet this Japanese felt so bad about what he did. He came under that cave in one of those mountains and just went out recently to check if he will be caught and put into prison. But can you imagine? The guilt is there. He's there. He's holding in his heart. So he needs a Savior, isn't it? He needs a Savior. And that's how we are in the sight of God. We are kept under darkness for so long. And there are a lot of people we are praying about, which I should not call names. They are under the darkness of sin in a cave that needs to share this, that we need to share this truth. That if a person commit hundreds and thousands of sin, God is willing to forgive and not use them, and not use against them those sins, because he will remember no more those sins that person or that unbeliever has done against God. And next, he is reconciled. That means he is at peace with God. Romans 5:10. This may probably sound something repetitious to you, but we need this truth to be repeated in our minds, so that in our preparation for this busy period, we will not forget these truths. Romans 5:10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are reconciled, dearly beloved. No longer is there any enmity. Reconciliation means there is no more enmity between us and this God that we have offended in Christ Jesus. Peace has been made through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus has settled this sin question once and for all. And now the conflict between us has been settled and God. Such a peace is priceless to realize. And yet, we don't thank God as we should. And when we hear someone to stand up and ready, like that drug addict who married a pastor's daughter, He is not that wrong in the Philippines. But someone shared the good news, the gospel, in that prison, and spent with him day and night, sharing these truths to him, and discipled him, like he's discipling himself with Christ, with his hope. He was one of the first person whose observation in his character has been changed, and he was set free. And he became a minister of the gospel. And he's now leading a church in that prison. I know him well because he's my classmate in the Bible College in the Philippines. And he is well known to this prison because he has been ministering to his fellow prisoners. Well, we have a lot to do, dear brothers in the Lord. God can use us. And next, I must stop on this. The Christian is sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Sanctified, the word means that God has set him apart from the world. In other words, out of this world, he chooses that person. He chooses you and me to be set apart for holy living, so that God would call that person, that only his child, that he belonged to him. It also means that God undertakes to make the believer more and more Christ-like. That is the word sanctification is. Sometimes people are afraid. I can sense that some people are afraid to say the word, "Please, Lord, sanctify me," because it's a big word. And sometimes, could it be that expresses a lot of being afraid of a commitment to be sanctified? But we are not making ourselves or our good works sanctify us, our own good works. God is the one, through the Holy Spirit, sanctifying us, setting us apart. He undertakes for us more and more to be Christ-like. As has been said, he is so pleased with his beloved Son that he wants to make the believer more like him. Such grace causes the saint to cry more and more of this grace, more and more of Christ that we should drink. I believe that the only consolation that should make this happen in our lives is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I believe that it should help us to remember this truth by memorizing this scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is where the prayer comes into being, because we are made face to face with the Word of God, that we need Him, we need our sin to be confessed, and that we need our mind to be renewed day by day. How can this be? Well, we must pray. And that's the call of the hour this morning. We must be watchful unto prayer. And we were asked, are we watchful unto prayer? Well, till then, dearly beloved, the best we can do tonight is to say with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Would you please turn your Bible with me and say that before the throne of God's grace with all our heart. Ephesians 1:3. Bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Would you be more miserable? Would you have reason more miserable this season when we have this riches in Christ? We should rejoice because we are standing in His grace. And not only that, we should glory in our tribulation because Christ enabled us to be like Him. Isn't that a worthy scripture references and reminding of ourselves tonight? Instead of spending so much time worrying about these things, we should actually enrich ourselves in Christ so that this truth in 354 or 394, more and more about Jesus, more and more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness, see, more of His love who died for me. Heavenly Father, thank You for these truths that should be ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgive us, Lord, if we forget this great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that You have reminded us about the proper preparation, this season is to meditate upon these great truths, which is already said that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and the words of our mouth be acceptable unto Thee, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.